All right, here we are, live on CFBX 92.5. I'm Chris Albinati.
And I'm Jay Michie.
And this is Loopholes, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk Occupy, and we've got some live guests. Occupy Kamloops is here. We've got some other guests from Occupy Vancouver making his way east across the country. We've got some more, including Jay's famous Latin segment. Lots to come up on the show. Good show, live guests. Stay tuned, CFBX 92.5.
That was Sam Roberts, I Feel You. Thanks for joining us today on Loopholes on November 2nd, 2011. A beautiful day in Kamloops, British Columbia. On Loopholes today, we're actually really glad to be back because last 2 weeks we had to pre-record our shows due to scheduling snafus. So it is really nice to be back live in the booth. This is our fourth show now. Every week we've been doing different subjects. We've been picking themes for the show. We started off with patriotism. Then we went to elections. Then we did presidents. A little bit on that, actually. We'll have to do an update on that later on in the show, maybe. And then today, our theme that we chose was property. But then we just found that's so perfectly tied in with the discussion we're actually going to have today about the Occupy movement. We are fortunate enough today to have two guests in the booth. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes, that is, Jay. Yes, we've got... we've got a little problem with the mic here this morning, or this afternoon, actually. We've got two people in the booth right now. We're going to have about six guests in total today, but we've got Anil here. We've got Anil and we've got Braden here. Start off with Braden. Braden's holding the mic. We only have two mics in the booth, so one for me and Jay, and then one for Braden and Anil. So Braden, you've got the mic in your hand. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're with Occupy Kamloops. You're a Kamloopsian.
I am now a Kamloopsian. Yes, I moved here in February. Such an amazing town. Absolutely beautiful. The location, the natural environments around here, the people especially, are what, in my mind, have made this town very, very rewarding to be a part of.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. And Anil, if you want to pass the mic over there. Anil, you come to us from Vancouver, but before then, Louisiana.
Yes, I'm from Louisiana, and I've been exploring North America, working on farms. That's what I do. And when the growing season was finished in the Bella Coola Valley, I was thinking, what am I to do with myself this winter? And I heard about the occupation, so I hitched my way down and lent a hand and learned a lot at the occupation in Vancouver. And I met a good buddy named Jamie, and him and I are going to be traveling east across Canada all the way to Newfoundland and back, hitting up every occupation and speaking with all the Canadians in between.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, Braden, we'll start with you in terms of Occupy Kamloops and getting a perspective on that for, I guess, the people listening. Maybe they don't know much about Occupy Kamloops, or maybe all they know is sort of what they've read in the local papers. So maybe you could provide a perspective straight from the source.
Absolutely. Well, you know, realistically, as I hope people would know and can realize, is what you read in the papers is far from truth. It's a fabricated version. From my perspective, Occupy Kamloops, OccupyTogether.org is an important website. On October 15th, it brought the movement that was started by Adbusters for the occupation of Wall Street to global attention and a realization of solidarity amongst essentially the peoples of the world, those that choose to put their bodies and their spirits out there to represent people who want to help but can't for many different reasons and things like that, you know, children, work lives, whatever it may be, relationship, mental disabilities, physical disabilities, anything really like that. The Occupy movement for me stands for much more than, changing financial and corporate ties. It stands for, you know, financial, corporate, and their ties to political systems, as has been reiterated many times. It's for me, what I've learned living in Spirit Park. It is spiritual. It is philosophical. It is very. It's very hard to classify it as any one thing. It's something that has to be truly experienced to, even to gauge an opinion, I think, as most things are. Right now, in my opinion, it's mostly about awareness. It's about bringing people together that have kind of forgotten we're all part of this world, this one planet, as, you know, one group of people. Bringing these people, all of us together, to realize our voices matter. What our opinions are, whether people disagree or agree, matter, and everybody has that right to be listened to and to be given criticism or encouraged.
Excellent. And Adil, I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about your perspective of the Occupy movement, but specifically, I guess, here, what you've seen in Kamloops. Kamloops is a small town. wait, small city, big town, let's say. You've seen Occupy manifested in much bigger places. You've been to Vancouver, and you've seen what it, how it presents itself in big American cities as well. So I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about that.
Well, in the occupation of Vancouver, we had a separate tent for the library and a meditation tent, Food Not Bombs running the kitchen. We had a tent for watching documentary films. We had a tent for information, an art tent, many separate things. I come out to Kamloops, and it's all condensed in one tent. And it's such fewer in numbers, but the same strength and spirit. I've seen such a tight-knit family develop here, and it's a fully organic thing. I've seen it develop over, I just got here yesterday, and I do believe people are, you know, a function of their environment that they're in, so this has a distinct flavor different than that of Vancouver, but yes, it is a spiritual revolution. Everything we do in the material world is born out of an idea, and it's certain perceptions about the world that have led us to the crisis that we face, social, political, economic, and ecological. And so what we need is an outlook in our perceptions, and the only way we can have that is by reopening the floor for debate, to really step back and look at ourselves objectively, this system we've built, and say, is this really what's best? Is this really what's making us happy? And I'm so privileged to have met the occupation in Kamloops and see that, you know, ongoing discussion.
What about community response, Adil? What about the difference between, or any differences you might have seen in the way the community responds in, say, Vancouver or Kamloops, as opposed to the community response or the government response in the United States?
I've noticed a more favorable, position on the part of the Vancouver Police Department. There wasn't a lot of harassment. There's been harassment on the part of the Kamloops RCMP. There was an arrest of one of our members. And it's not just with the occupation. There's harassment in the community. I'm sure you're aware of the shutdown of the Compassion Club yesterday. And that's discouraging, but I'm also really encouraged to see citizens, saying this is our community, and, the law enforcement will enforce the common law of what we believe to be right, that we're not going to let them impose unjust laws upon us. So, and even here in Kamloops with that, it pales in comparison to the police state that the U.S. is developing into. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that situation's a bit better here in Canada.
Braden, we'll turn the mic over to you for a second. I want to ask you about your thoughts on what the goal of Occupy Kamloops is. That seems to be a question on a lot of people's minds anyways. What do you think the goal of Occupy is? Do you think there should be a goal if there isn't a defined goal? Maybe it's individualistic while being collectivist?
That's a great question, and that is also a question that is asked by just about everybody that comes to visit the park, and I talk to in my travels during the day and doing different things. Personally, I think, you know, what I see the goal as at this point in time is bringing the community together in a way that hasn't been done for a long time. I'm creating a true democratic forum, a dialogue where everyone can have a say, know that they'll be listened to, and in turn have mutual respect to listen back to what anyone else has to say, right? Whatever it may be, whoever it may be, you know, a big part of it is realizing if we could get a little bit more compassion, acceptance, and, you know, well, compassion and acceptance back in our lives, perhaps we could be able to do a little bit more with what we are given on this planet here.
You spoke about the democratic forum, and either of you two could answer this question because both of you have experienced it. But one of the things I've been hearing about the Occupy movement is that people are drawn to it because there's a feeling of a new type of democracy being practiced there, where people engage in a general assembly. And there's sort of a mutual respect there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should both answer this question, and Anil from the perception of Vancouver and his experiences there.
Yeah, I just want you to specifically compare it with how you feel, because technically we live in an open and free democratic society.
Yeah,
technically. But that system seems to resonate very differently with what people experience at the Occupy encampment. So maybe you could talk about that.
Well, doing some research, you know, just a little backstory, there's a lot of different types of democracy, right? There's many different types of democracy. We live in one that is sort of closed to very politically correct methods of getting your point across and having your voice heard, you know. Personally, I feel that I have participated in a democracy for the first time in my life just over 2 weeks ago. I don't believe personally that being told when to vote or maybe having a say when to vote, going and voting for a representative that you choose from your constituents, and then these different representatives, council members, mayors, whoever it may be, that's democracy. That is one form of democracy, but in my mind, true democracy is participation, feeling that you are part of it, that you have more than just a ballot to be cast. You have a responsibility to be a part of it.
Thanks, Braden. I have to tell you, I went down to Occupy, went down to in front of the library, the Civic Plaza there, the first day that Occupy Kamloops launched, we'll say, and I was really under the impression that it was just a show of solidarity, 1-2 hour thing, and then we would all go back and, you know, go back to our lives. But obviously that is not the case. Occupy Kamloops has continued on, and I read in the paper a couple of weeks ago that the city, it was actually a quote from the mayor saying that they were going to try to refrain from enforcing the bylaw in a show of support. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to hear from you guys that there has been some interaction with the RCMP.
And to clarify, there has been a lot more positive reaction and positive support. Just last night, for example, an RCMP came by looking for a missing child. The child wasn't there. We had a great conversation. He stuck around for a while till he got called off. He was there for probably an hour almost, just conversing with us. There's been a lot more positive reinforcement from council, from the mayor, from RCMP and bylaw than there has negative, and you know, it's great to point that out.
That is good to know. My only question was, in this article they said that the occupiers are intending to stay out the winter. Do you include yourself in that class?
Yes.
Wow. Well, my hat is off to you. You might need it.
Thank you. And you know, just to say something else to that effect, I feel the prayers. I feel other people from around the world. You know, one of the things that's keeping my fire so hot inside of me is I know that in more than 1,000 cities around the world, people are going through the exact same experiences. That might not be as cold, but they're going through the same interpersonal relationships, community building processes, and things like that. That really makes my determination steadfast.
All right. It's 20 after 3 right now. We're 20 minutes into the program. This is Loopholes on CFBX 92.5 FM. We've been talking a little bit with Braden and Anil. Both of them are involved with the Occupy movement. We're going to hear more from Anil later on in the show. We're going to talk to him a little bit about his plans to journey out east and what his sort of mission and purpose is with that. He's collecting messages of a sort and taking those to different occupies across the country. So we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the show. We've got a couple more guests that we're going to get to right after this song. You're listening to Loopholes. It is 3:21 in Kamloops. It is relatively blustery outside from the window in the station. So wear a coat if you're going out. CFBX 92.5. We're going to get to another song, Old Soul Song for the New World Order by Bright Eyes. You're listening to Loopholes.
Day leaks through the window. An old soul song comes on the alarm clock radio. We walk the 40 blocks to the middle of the place we heard that everything would be. And there were barricades to keep us off the street. But the crowd kept pushing forward till they swallowed the police. Yeah, they went wild. Yeah, they went wild. Yeah, they went wild. Yeah, they went wild. Time to settle. And all the broken glass swept off the avenue. And all the way home held your camera like a Bible, just wishing so bad that it held some kind of truth. And I stood nervous next to you in the dark room. Drop the paper in the water and it all begins to bloom. Yeah, they go wild. Yeah, they go wild. Yeah, they go wild.
We're back. That was Bright Eyes' Old Soul Song for the New World Order. But of course, as everybody knows, this song tells us that it's time for Jay's Latin segment. Jay?
Bright Eyes tells people that, or Matlock tells people that. Anyways, yes.
Specifically Matlock.
This is a segment that we are doing.
Yes.
Until someone tells us to stop. It's Jay's Latin legal segment, where I read out a Latin word and say what it's about, spell it. Today I actually don't have a word. I have an entire maxim, Chris.
A whole maxim.
A whole maxim.
So is maxim a Latin word?
What a bargain.
Is maxim?
Probably.
So I guess a maxim would be sort of like a sentence or a command or a rule?
It's a rule. It's a rule. Something, little nugget. Little legal nugget.
Perfect.
You ready for it?
I am.
Sujus est solam. Ejus est usc ad coelum et ad infernos. I'm not going to spell it.
No.
No. Nobody needs that.
Maybe the first few, and then people can Google the rest.
Sujust est solam. That's one thing. You look that up. You also look up ad coelum. A-D-C-O-E-L-U-M.
Okay, ad coelum.
That means to the skies. The whole thing mean? It means he who owns the land owns all the way up to the heavens and all the way down to Hades.
To Hades, to hell.
To hell, yeah.
To the core, I
guess. And that's how the Romans did it. They used to believe that if you owned the property, the property as we like to think of, the axial plane, then you actually had rights to everything all the way up to the sky and everything all the way down to hell.
Yeah, before someone pointed out that the earth was not flat and that you'd eventually just end up with a wedge.
That did probably throw a bit of a wrench into the system. But we also, as a society, found ways to chip away at this idea. It really started to throw people for a loop back when planes started flying over property. The question was, does that airline company owe you some sort of rent for flying over your property?
Are they trespassing is the real question.
Are they trespassing? Or, of course, subsurface rights became a big issue as we started plunging deeper and deeper into the depths of the earth to extract natural resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we learned a great case, Edwards v. Sims.
A great case.
The Great Onyx Cave.
The Great Onyx Cave. Suffice it to say that it all means now that just because you own a piece of land does not mean that you have an infinite amount of right to what's above you and what's below you. There are natural constraints to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that maybe it'd be useful to bring this up as we are talking about property, sort of, in relation to occupying space. So the question I asked some of these occupiers earlier on is, you are occupying a physical space for a purpose. How far does that extend? Is this an occupation? Can you imagine occupying an entire tube of area going deep into the earth and all the way up to the skies? And they thought that was a pretty trippy thing to ask them. But we know that that's not the point. That defeats the point.
Yeah. I think what the law about that maxim is telling me is that just because it's in Latin doesn't always mean that it will apply.
That's a really good thing to take away from it.
is how I look at it. We're going to get to some PSAs, and then we have got Chris and Jason in the studio right now. They're also involved with Occupy Kamloops. We want to talk to them about their experience, their thoughts, their perspectives on the Occupy movement happening. But first, let's do our public duty, our public service, and talk about these things. I'm going to play a little background music for the enjoyment of all.
The Art We Are hosts Open Heart Mondays twice per month on, yes, Mondays, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Lord Byron once said, "Letter writing is the only device for combining solitude with good company." And these evenings are set aside for the creation of works of handwritten art in a relaxed atmosphere. All supplies are by donation or can be brought along by participants, and gifts of stationery are most welcome. Stamps are available at Canada Post prices, and The Art We Are will mail you letter for you. They will mail it for you. The next session is November 7th, Monday.
Thanks for that, Jay. All right, I'm going here. The True Environmental Science Seminar Series continues on Thursday, November 3rd, with a presentation by TRU instructor Dr. Louis Gosselin, or Louis Gosselin, not sure, maybe he's French, at 3:30 p.m. in the science building, I guess, or the science area, S203. The topic is, new neighborhoods are scary places. Why do many marine invertebrates die when relocating to a new habitat? So, there is no cost to attend, and everyone is welcome.
Interior Health will be providing flu shots at Sahali Center Mall on Monday, November 7th, Friday the 18th, and Tuesday the 22nd, from 9 to 4, with no appointment necessary. The shot is free to those who qualify, those over 64, babies, and those with health conditions and other risks. For more information, contact Interior Health at 250-851-7359. I would hope that they would add occupiers to this list, because if they're going to stay over the winter, they're going to want a flu shot.
Yeah. I love those sounds. Link Ray with Rumble, for anybody counting music and things like that. Great tune. He did the Batman theme, if anybody knows. Long time ago. All right, so we've got Jason holding the mic here, and Chris as well. Both of you are from the Occupy Kamloops site. We'll start with you, Chris. Sorry. Just get your... tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved with the Occupy movement, and what you see about it, and your perspective on it, I guess you could say.
Well, I just moved here maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, and I found out Occupy Kamloops completely by accident. Me and my friends were actually walking around downtown, and we saw the first protest they had right beside Zach's Coffee on Victoria Street, and we sat down there for a while. And we started listening to everybody talk about what's going on, and then Cassie walked up to the group I was in, and she said we're having a camp out down at Spirit Square. So we didn't really know where it was at the time, so we took the bus down to the North Shore and started wandering around, and we ended up finding it around 1 in the morning. So we hung out there until around 4 in the morning. It was a lot of fun, and I've just been with it ever since.
Okay, yeah, and we'll, Jason, then, why don't you tell us about your involvement with Occupy Kamloops?
I am a blue-collar working boy. I've spent most of my childhood on a farm out in Alberta. I was drawn to the event by actually a homeless gentleman that I talked to quite often during my morning coffee, and so I went and checked out the rally. And I too am kind of in that with Chris. I didn't know where it was, so I went wandering for an hour and a half, found them, and just soaked up all the knowledge I could. I've been with them since, and I've been an adamant part in the growth of the Occupy movement here in Kamloops. All right, but yeah.
So actually, I'm going to ask a question to you, Jason. What do you think? I was babbling on there for a bit about this Latin maxim about owning the heavens and the deep depths of the earth. I'm actually not going to get you to expound on that. But if we can just keep it to this idea about property, we occupy. The word occupy actually implies that you are taking control of a piece of property. And some might suggest that, you guys are using Spirit Park, or yeah. a piece of, you call it Spirit Park, it's directly across from Spirit Square,
which is
on the North Shore, U and U.
Yes.
The intersection of U and U Street. I still need to figure out how this works. But anyways, the argument could be put forward that this occupation is actually taking a public piece of property and is excluding other people from that, the use of that property, so that you were claiming it for your own. What would you say to that?
In that sense, we are a movement for the people, and we do encourage the people to come flock to this park to soak up our knowledge. So I have issues kind of figuring out where that question was meant to lead, but we are not discouraging other people from coming to the park. That alone is not taking away from the park's essence. We're adding to it, where the movement encourages people to come sit in on our general assemblies and soak up the knowledge and be part of our family, as we put it.
So you're not trying to exclude people not from using all. This public space?
Not at all.
I didn't think you were. I'm just asking the question in case anyone else, any of our listeners, have had this thought. I'm not sure if anybody's out there's mind works quite the way mine does, hopefully.
We also encourage all different walks of life to come join us. We are not against anybody. We welcome everybody, no matter what.
There's been some interesting things happening with some of the Occupy movements in the South, or when I say the South, I mean the United States, for instance, and I think this speaks to the participation of people from all walks of life, is that on, I guess you could say, Occupy Wall Street, for example, has over $500,000, over $500,000 in donations that they have received. And other Occupy movements, some in Chicago, some in Seattle, have made mention to the fact that people have approached them with donations of $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. So, you know, I think this speaks to is maybe that there are people in very rich forms, maybe they are part of the 1% as the Occupy movement frames it, but that still want to contribute, but seem to only contribute monetarily. Do you think that that goes with the movement's ideals, maybe, of people from all walks of life, but maybe only contributing from a money aspect?
Well, as we are part of an economy-based society, I think that the money definitely helps keep us fed and sleep well. We have tents, yada yada. I could go on about what we have donated, but I think the more that they show their contribution in any way, form, shape, or form, then, I mean, they're still contributing, and we're not against the 1% as it may have been portrayed. Yeah. We're trying to bring the 1% down to our level to get them to coexist with us.
So if I drive by and I honk my horn and give you a thumbs up, that's good.
That's support. Yes, it is.
Even if I'm driving, even if I'm driving a Bentley.
Who cares?
Excellent. Well, I don't own a Bentley. It'll be many years before I ever do. But that's good. That's good.
Okay. Chris, I want to hear from you. We've been hearing a lot from Jason. We've got almost 20 to 4 on the hour, so we've got about 23 minutes left in the show. But I want to hear from Chris and your thoughts on the Occupy movement. Specifically, what have you experienced since you joined Occupy Kamloops? And maybe speak to your particular idea of what the goal of the Occupy movement might be.
Well, last night I was on night watch after I got off work, and I was sitting with Gene the whole night, and we had a really interesting discussion, and he kept on touching on this one point, victims of circumstance. And I don't think we can really blame the world economy going down on just the 1%. They're just doing that because it's what they've grown up with, like more money, more power. Like if you go back in history, you will see a whole bunch of different reigning powers that had all sorts of money and stuff like that. Just like, it's hard just to pin it on one group of people when it's been going on for thousands of years.
So for you, I guess for your contribution to the Occupy movement, what would you like to see its goal then be? What would you like to see it achieve? I mean, if it lasts, right now it pertains to last indefinitely, but do you think there will be a certain level of satisfaction reached, or do you think the movement itself is enough?
Well, I think it's definitely going to take its time for it to fully play out, but anything we do now or and tomorrow or whatever, it's definitely going to help towards changing the world in the future. We just have to be patient with it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, with that, I'm going to say it's 20 to 4. We're going to play a quick track, and we're going to get our next two guests in the booth. I want to thank you both, Chris and Jason. Swing by the Occupy Kamloops. It's at Spirit Park. It's called Spirit Park, but it's not actually at Spirit Square. And at the corner of U and U.
Yep.
U and U. Perfect. U and U. This is CFBX 92.5. You're listening to Loopholes. It's a legal talk radio show on the university's campus and community radio station. I'm Chris. We're going to go to a track by Broken Social Scene. They're always good at writing songs that send a not-so-subtle middle metric finger to big corporations. This song is aptly titled Texaco Bitches here on CFBX 92.5.
Texaco bitches. as this town is going down.
Sparkle like an old drum.
Texaco bitches, I hope you stick around.
I'm melting like a snow cone.
Texaco bitches, the guns built me for you.
Talking on the phone.
Texaco bitches, the storm and need some trip.
CFBX 92.5 FM, Broken Social Scene, Texaco Bitches. Jay, last week on the program, we talked at length about the tremendous victory that the that the GERB in Bulgaria were acclaimed to to great success. But this is not the case, as Tony informed us. So please, set the record straight. This is our first ever correction on Loopholes.
I don't know if it's our first, and it probably won't be our last, but the actually, we've spent a really inordinate amount of time talking about Bulgarian politics on this show, which is kind of amazing. But yes, last week I did declare a little bit early that Rosen Plevneev was elected president of Bulgaria. I was a week ahead in declaring that. That was probably put the show ahead of any other news source in the world in making that declaration.
Big scoop.
What happened was there was an election. They did not, the GERB did not receive enough of a plurality to be declared the winner. At that point, they'd only had 40% of the vote. So the way they run it in Bulgaria, they just kind of knock off candidates until somebody gets a majority. The GERB did just win their majority. They got 52 and some change percent of the vote, and Rosen Plevneev, I'll never get that right. Either way, he's the president of Bulgaria. The GERB did win, just not when we said they did.
Right, and we had spoken about the vice presidency.
Yeah, and we'd actually made a mistake in thinking that our colleague in law school is friends with a presidential candidate. She's actually friends with the vice presidential candidate of the GRP, who is now the vice president.
There you go.
So talk about a friend to have.
If you're ever planning to run for politics in
Bulgaria
or surrounding countries,
come talk to us. We can put you in contact with the right people.
I guess so. Yeah.
One more little correction here. We have Anil with us here. Anil here, and I was calling him Adil before, so I apologize, Anil.
All right, well, we're going to pass the microphone over. I'm doing this right now as I speak. And before we get Anil in, we're going to talk to introduce our next guest. This is our fifth guest today, Mei Ling.
Happy New Day.
Happy New Day. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Excellent. I'm just going to, just a little in studio. Yeah, just there we go, and we'll get you. All right. So, Mei Ling, what brings you to the Occupy movement? You're not, I think I was talking to you earlier, you're not staying there, but you're definitely involved. So, maybe tell us a bit about that.
I'm spiritually encamped, and when I'm not there, there's a really good chance that I'm at home posting on the Facebook page or baking potatoes to use as hand warmers or creating stews to bring down to feed not just the occupiers but anybody else that comes by asking for food, and working security at the camps as well, because it's important that the camp be good neighbors in that neighborhood. It is a residential community. So
it sounds like there's quite an operation there. A couple people have said they've say been on night watch or done some other roles like that. How is that organized at Occupy Kamloops? Maybe Anil, you could speak to that.
Well, it's entirely voluntary. It's a perfect expression of direct democracy. Everyone picks up tasks that need to be done, and you know they're achieved. And if there's any problems with how they carry out that, it's brought to consensus about better methods to do it. And yeah, everything's achieved in a balance with everyone on board. Figuring out the best methods, and it's been so encouraging at every occupation I've been to so far, and going to be a lot more, to see people stepping up and taking care of their community, you know, without having leaders give them orders.
You mentioned the Facebook page. So Occupy as a movement is actually quite technologically plugged in. Some of our listeners might not be aware of how do they find that.
We have a Facebook page, Occupy Kamloops. It's currently listed as a cause. We are linked also to Occupy Together, and have contacts both through Facebook and other social media, as well as by telephone with other groups. It's about expanding awareness. It's about connecting and reconnecting, and in a very grassroots way, growing up together. There's a spiritual component to this movement as well, and part of that spiritual component, when we get back to the root of this movement, we are creatures. We're physical, mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual creatures that are trying to achieve a certain level of, I guess, well-being. I wanted to comment, you had the Latin phrase about owning the land up to the sky and down to Hades. I should point out that we're privileged in North America to enjoy a unique blend of democracy that was actually given to Jefferson in the States and Washington. That U.S. democracy is actually based on the working democracy that was put in place by the Iroquois Confederacy to end wars. And in Canada, we too are based on this. So listening to this phrase, I was reminded of Chief Seattle's very famous speech about, well, now you want to come and buy our land. How can you buy our mother, the one who feeds us, nourishes us, who receives us after our bodies are gone? Who can own the sky? Who can own the stars? I'm occupying as an organism of this earth. I'm occupying earth, and the place on earth that I happen to be is in Kamloops, whether that's the arm or the shoulder or the finger of Mother Earth, I don't know. But the Occupy movement is about remembering something, and that is who we are and our place in the larger scheme of things. So I just wanted to point that out, because you were quoting Latin, which I don't speak, which in fact very few people speak, because it has long been officially a dead language. And I think that it's a language that has been used to achieve certain re-achieve certain freedoms that have been removed and then subsequently put back in place to with varying degrees through our legal systems. The whole idea of land ownership, I think if you took that to other continents, would totally baffle the majority of people.
Absolutely, Mei-Ling. Thank you for pointing that out. We have this segment, we've been doing this segment partially because I pull out Latin in class every once in a while, and it's become a bit of an inside joke. Obviously, it is an inaccessible language, and it does have some kind of negative outcome. Sometimes its use obviously excludes other people from understanding what's going on. Partially, we're trying to shed some light on that. Partially, we're just trying to point out that it is a little bit nonsensical sometimes.
Well, and also that the law still uses these Latin terms and phrases, so we try to, in order to make that part of the law, because some law is framed around these things, that in order to make that part of the law accessible to everybody, we try to translate, I guess you could say, or help explain it in a way that makes it understood. But I agree with you, and I really liked what you were saying about the way. How about what Chief Seattle saying, quoting him, saying that, well, how can you buy, you know, Mother Earth? I think that really explains a lot about us recognizing that there are very different, there isn't just the common law in Canada, that other people recognize other types of law, that there really is a pluralism in this country, and that we shouldn't feel oppressed by only one system. But we've got 6 minutes left, and I really want to talk to Anil and just hear what your plans are. You're moving on. You're going to be heading to different places and heading across the country. I really want you to talk about the thing you're doing with the messages, the purpose it's serving, and sort of your plans for that. If you could expound on that.
Sure. I'm going to be traveling east all the way to Newfoundland and back. And I'm doing it hitchhiking because I don't believe in funding the fossil fuel companies. Rather than paying to burn, I'm going to share someone else's. I started in Vancouver, and I didn't really know where to go from there until I met a guy named Jamie, and he's the one who said, I'm going to be headed east. Would you like to join me? He's in Kelowna right now. We split at Merritt, so I could head up and express solidarity with our family in Kamloops before I'm going to head down to Kelowna tomorrow. If anyone's headed down and you see me on the highway, I appreciate a ride. And while I'm in transit, I'm carrying a collection of papers, which has become very important to me. And it's it carries the writings of different people I've met along the way, their thoughts on the change they'd like to see in the world, the good things that they've seen, the bad things that need to be redressed. And in addition, they've given their names and their locations. So I can share this information with others that it really happened, that these are the thoughts of real people. And these are these are all of our desires on how to make this world better. I'm also doing it to have an adventure, because Canada is the second largest country in the world, and I want to see it and meet all of its people. It's an extraordinary privilege to live in a time where I can travel so fast, so cheaply.
What are you looking forward to in your journey, I guess you could say?
Well, whenever I arrive in an occupation, I always enjoy getting some food and sharing it, working in kitchens. That was one of my favorite things I did when I was in Vancouver. I'm a food person. I like growing food, and I like working with food and preparing food. I hope to do that in Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, Fredericton, everywhere.
Are you going to be accessing the web or anything like that? Is there any way you can keep us posted on your travel?
I don't carry a computer. I can certainly access other people's computers. But mostly I've been staying away from a lot of things because I believe the heart of this movement is in the right place, to address ecological destruction, to address the primacy of profit over people and how that's led to the globalization of the economy. But at the same time that we're protesting these things, how many of us knew where our food was grown? that we ate today. How many of us here made our own clothes? How many of us here made our own shelter? We can complain about the corporations all we want, but until we become independent, until we do things ourselves, we're going to be slaves to them. And it's my personal belief, the message I've been sharing, that to bring back independence, we need to bring back the commons, the public land, the public good. We need a rebirth of community, and that's what I'm seeing at these occupations, and that's what I hope to see, because this economy is the definition of unsustainable, and as it slopes downward, I hope to see more people learn how to do things themselves so we can be independent.
Excellent. Right on time. I have 2 minutes left. I just want to express my gratitude for you guys coming in here, for expressing your opinions, for talking to us, for talking to the listening public, I guess you could say, wherever these radio waves reach, through the web or across the dial. So I want to thank you both, and thank everybody who was on the show today, including Jay.
And thank you. And please, don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger to the occupation site. Do come by, and thank you for sharing your information with us for legal advice we might need up the road.
Well, we don't do advice, but...
Not on air.
Not on air.
We'd like to tap your knowledge and your resources, perhaps.
You bet. Well, thanks again, guys.
Just on a final note, Che Guevara said, the revolutionary is motivated by feelings of great love. We love each other, and we love this earth, and we're going to build a better system.
That he did.
Beautiful.
All right. We're going to end the show with the song by Spoon, I Summon You. This has been Chris and Jay on Loophole, CFBX 92.5. We'll see you all in a week.
The sound that we used to buy on cassette and 45. And now this little girl, she says, will we make it at home? 800 miles is a drive. And all that you can, all that you can give is a cold goodbye. The law enforcement's oppressed, you survive to the sage. Strapped up soldiers, they'll lock you in a cage without goodbye. For a nickel bribe. But oh no, where are you tonight? It's too late to break it off. I need a release. The signal's a call, but then don't get me off. I summon you to appear, my love.
101.5 FM, Campus Community Radio, in and serving Kamloops, British Columbia.